Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Going to read from the New King James Version. And find verse 1. It's rather lengthy passage of scripture. So let me do this. Frequently we stand up for the reading of God's word. But in light of the fact that it's a little bit lengthy but important that we read it, you can just remain in your seats. How's that? Is that all right? Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Everybody say down to Egypt. Down to Egypt. And Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. I want you to say that. The Lord was, sorry, can't hear you. Try again. The Lord was, very, very important. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man. It's a successful slave is what he's saying. I mean, that's amazing. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord had made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. All that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from that time, that he made him overseer of all of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord on all that he had in the house of and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Another version says he was well built. I like that. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Sin against who? Sin against God. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her. Or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see how he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me. What a liar. And fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought, they need some marriage help right here, whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard these words, which his wife spoke, saying, your servant did this to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, he was doing. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, thank you for what you did in the first service and what you'll do now in this next service here, right now, this morning. Move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. We do have notes, so I would encourage you to fill those in. If you don't have those, would you make yourself aware, make the ushers aware, rather, and they will help you. We've been in a series called Living the Dream, and I've encouraged you to say that on the regular. I'm living the dream. Go ahead, say it. I am living the dream. Joseph, it's a study in the life of Joseph. Joseph was given two dreams. We talked about that. All these messages are available, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify. You can listen to them later. And if you're just here, perhaps for the first time, go back and avail yourself of those messages because they're powerful messages. And given the fact that it's probably 20, could be as many as 25 messages, I've decided to do it more than just on Sunday morning, because we would be still preaching on Joseph when Jesus split the eastern sky. Hopefully he's coming back, not within the next 20-something weeks, but I'm going to step on the gas a little bit. I'll be preaching these on Sunday nights and midweek as God directs me. We have done two messages. He chose you anyway. I want you to say that. He chose me anyway. That's about Joseph's dysfunctional family, and if you think dysfunction in your family is bad, his was even worse, I would imagine. But the truth is, all families are dysfunctional. I've said all families are dysfunctional. And so we find even Jesus' family is dysfunctional. And even though you come from a dysfunctional family, he can still use you. The second message that we preached was on Wednesday, dreams don't die in Dothan. Dreams don't die in Dothan. And that's where Joseph is captured by his angry, bitter brothers, and they put him in a pit, which means, it doesn't really mean this, but it works. Pit, prophet in training. And he gets persecuted, and he's sold into slavery. And I didn't preach from Genesis chapter 38, because even though it's crucial, of course, it's God's word, it's not there by accident. It's an intentional interlude in this life of Joseph, but we jumped. So you didn't miss that. I'm not talking about Judah and all the different things that happened, but it's important. Joseph sold into slavery. Judah's being tested morally in Canaan. Both are being shaped for leadership roles. Suffering and difficulty will shape you. Don't get bitter, get better. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to get better, not bitter. Say it. I'm going to get right. Both are being shaped for leadership roles. Joseph in Egypt, Judah as a forerunner of the kings. This text is profound, so we'll take a look at it now. Look at the text. You'll notice in the New King James, it's not in all versions, but in the New King James, it says Joseph was taken down to Egypt. Everybody say down to Egypt. It is a reference to the clock of the prophetic word from Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, prophetic word to Father Abraham, that your descendants are going to go into slavery. This starts the clock of 400 years right here. When it says go down to Egypt, it's intentionally saying that, certainly in the Hebrew, even though some versions miss that. He's sold into slavery, sold to Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And there's an emphasis, verse 1, verse 2, verse 5, on the Egyptian. In fact, it mentions it three different times. And it's, can you imagine, I mean, anybody ever been to France? I know there's some other places that don't think kindly about Americans, but I had a bad experience in France. I love France. One day we will have churches there. Somebody say amen. There's some wells that we're going to reopen in France as God directs us clearly. But I remember going, and I think I was just hated because I was an American. And you would hear disparaging remarks about being an American in France and maybe in other places, because Americans, generally speaking, don't have the greatest reputation. They have a reputation of being angry, and prideful, arrogant. Arrogant would be a better word, not angry. They both begin with an A. Arrogant, selfish, culturally insensitive is common to being an American. So if you travel around, they're like, he's an American. It's like you. So when it says Egyptian, 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 it's saying something. It's a very antagonistic culture. Egyptians hated Jews. They hated their moral code. They hated really everything about them. So it's an emphasis on being Egyptian to communicate the antagonistic setting. And so all Egyptians held all Canaanites in contempt because of their moral code, and especially those of the Abrahamic family. Joseph is not alone. Look at verse 2. Joseph is not alone. God is with him. And I had you repeat that. God is with him. Verse 2, verse 3, verse 23. I mean, you can't get away from the fact that the text is clearly saying God is with him. And God is with him. And God is with him. God is with him in the pit. God is with him when he's being sold into slavery. God is with him when he was sold to Potiphar. And God is with him when he's a slave. God is with him. And it makes a point of saying that God made him successful. Everything he did prospered. I mean, everything he did prospered. It really is remarkable. God gave Joseph favor in Potiphar's eyes. And as a result, I mean, you see this promotion. He was the attendant of Joseph. And then he was administrator over everything. Why is that? Because when God's with you, you'll get elevated. When God's with you, you'll get blessed. When God's with you, you're going to overcome. When God's with you, your family might hate you, but you're still going to make it. Come on, somebody say amen. If God's with you, and if God's not with you, we have a problem. God gave Joseph favor in Potiphar's eyes, and he entrusted all that he owned. It's this picture of elevation. So God's blessing was on Potiphar's household because of Joseph. That's what the text says. Potiphar was experiencing unprecedented blessing because of Joseph. Come on, say it with me. God's blessing was on Potiphar's household because of Joseph. Because of who? Absolutely. It's a picture. It mentioned the field and the house. He started in the field, and he moved on to the house. Everything was in Joseph's hand. I read New Living Translation in the first service, but it was bothered me so much that I decided to depart and go back to the New King James. Not all versions are created equal. I like the way the New Living Translation reads, and it is a true translation, paraphrase in some places, and lots of different. It's paraphrase Bible, word for word Bible, phrase by phrase. And many times when I'm studying, I'll look at the Hebrew, and what's interesting here in verse 6, everything was in Joseph's hand. It's this delicate expression that is a Hebrew expression. Everything is in Joseph's hand except the bread which Potiphar ate. The bread which Potiphar's ate. The New Living Translation says everything was in his hand except he wasn't able to eat Potiphar's food. What a lame expression, interpretation, because it's like a Hebrew idiom, if you will, or an expression that says everything was in his hand except his wife. That's what that says. You could miss that. So he wasn't allowed to eat his food. No, he wasn't allowed to be with his wife. Can you say hallelujah? And God's blessing was on Potiphar's household because of Joseph, as we said. So Potiphar's wife attempts to seduce Joseph. She casts longing eyes. do a study. I would challenge you. Now, listen, as we go through this, read through the life of Joseph. Read it with your kids. Get intimate with this story of Joseph, which is so many parallels to Jesus. It's my favorite way to preach is Old Testament tying into New Testament revelation. There's so many parallels here to Jesus throughout the life of Joseph. He is an antitype, if you will, a type of Christ. So Potiphar's wife attempts to seduce Joseph, but Joseph refuses to yield to Potiphar's wife's seductions. It starts with her looking, and that is how sin starts. It starts with your eyes. And if you'll do a study on the eye gate, look at Eve. She looked at the fruit over and over and over. Let me give you a New Testament scripture from the book of James, verse 14 of chapter 1. But each one of you is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We have a saying here that which you behold, you will become. It's very important for you to not gaze at things you shouldn't be gazing at. Look at things that you shouldn't be looking at. I have on my phone, and I don't know if you could do a close-up on that, but go ahead, close-up on it. Come on, Mr. Cameraman. Okay, that is my beautiful wife. Okay, I used to have motorbikes on there and stuff like that, but that's not good. I began to realize, wow, long ago, what I gaze at is important. You could start lusting after a motorcycle or a bass boat or whatever. I'm not feeling the love right now. Let me go encourage myself. Amen. That's true, Pastor. Whoa. Wow. Watch what you're looking at. Come on, somebody say, watch your eyes. Absolutely. If you look too long, you're on a hook real strong. Let's get back into this here. Verse 10 says she spoke to Joseph day after day in the New International Version, but understand what the idea is here. So she tries to seduce him day after day. What does that mean? Well, she's wearing a different dress every day. She tries different fragrances every day. She tries to seduce him. She does everything she can, literally every day, varying her dress, doing whatever she can to try to hook that boy. And it doesn't work because he has no hooks in him. Jesus said, Satan's coming, but he has no hold on me. Somebody said, well, he has no hold on me either. I hope that's true. Have you been tested by Potiphar's wife yet? So Joseph refuses to yield to Potiphar's wife's seduction. Verse 11, New King James, it says, but it happened about this time. In fact, the Hebrew is, and it was on a day like this day, is the Hebrew phrase. Here's what they believe. They believe that there was a worship, pagan worship taking place so that all the slaves left the house and just Joseph was there with the Potiphar's wife, Jezebel by another name. There she is. There he is. And there's no one around. You know, it's one thing to say that I'll never do all that because that would destroy my life. That's true. You live in sin. You do things that are wrong. You're going to get caught. It will destroy your life. But think about Joseph for a second, because he had nothing to lose, really. I mean, he's a slave. I mean, would you do it? What the level of things that you would do in the dark, that is the level of Christianity you have. Let me go over here and say that. What you know you can get away with, that is the level of maturity that you have. So if you know for sure, absolutely can get away with that, well, you think you're getting away with it, but the devil and his demons can see you doing it, and God knows also. And so you might not ever be caught by any person in this world, but clearly you'll be opening a portal to the enemy to use you as a pull toy. And Joseph doesn't yield. He doesn't yield. Verse 14. She called to the men of the house and spoke to them. See, he has brought into us this Hebrew. He's talking about this Hebrew. You see the prejudice here? This Hebrew, came to make fun of me, came to make sport of me, and she's holding his garment. I read a commentary from a favorite preacher of mine. It talked about the two garments that lied. And I thought, whoa, that's good. What two garments that lied? The first garment is a coat of many colors, a coat of favor, the prophetic coat that is used to deceive Joseph's father into believing that he was dead. Dipped in blood, they sent it at the hands of another to testify, is this Joseph's coat? Yes, he's been killed by a wild beast. It was used as manipulation, and now he loses his garment, and it's used as a garment proving that he tried to rape her. It's fascinating to me. Joseph refuses to yield to Potiphar's wife's seduction. And there's a number of reasons he refused. Because it's a betrayal of Potiphar, that's a good reason. That's a good reason. Come on, somebody say it's a good reason. Okay, so if you were to go ahead and commit adultery, you go ahead and steal or go ahead and do something that's wrong before the Lord, a good reason of not doing that is it's gonna destroy you. Come on, somebody say, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna just say, who, come on, how many, you grow up and you just wanna destroy your life. Destroy your life for like 3 to 5 minutes or less. Destroy your life. What a great idea. No, seriously. I remember in the building of this project, Dr. Morocco says to me, Daniel, I said, yeah. He said, you do know that if you fail, you will destroy the entire organization. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to fail. He says, no, I know, but I'm just telling you. I'm like, great. Praise God. Yeah, I did know that. Oh, a few months later. I mean, it took us 7 years to build this thing. 7.5. A few years later, he says, Daniel, you know that if you fail. I said, yeah, I know. You said it before, and I am aware of that, that if I fail, but I'm not going to. He's like, no, I know you're not. I'm like, amen. I think he did it one more time. I think he wanted to make sure that I knew that if I failed, see, because of the whole organization with the weight of a building like this and a strength of a congregation like this, if you just lost your leader and something would happen, it would not be good. I want you to know that I have zero plans and every intention of never failing. Go ahead. You say, well, most never do. But we're built in such a way by the grace of God. Is that a motivator for you? Absolutely. I've played scenarios. I've had nightmares, actually. The worst nightmare I've ever had was that I failed. It wasn't a moral failure. It was another kind of failure. And when I failed, I lost everything. The church got destroyed. I woke up, oh God, it's a dream. Oh God, and I just went right into a prayer meeting. The hell, Ramakabababashanda. Yeah. So I don't think it's wrong to use that as a reason for not betraying Potiphar's wife because you're going to lose everything. But the number one thing for Potiphar, for Joseph, and I would say the number one thing for me is I love God more than my wife. I love God more than you all. Not comparing my love that you have for God. I'm just saying he's number one for me. He's absolutely number one. And I don't like grieving him. I don't like hurting him. I've done enough of that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't want to sin against God. I have no plans. Do you? Well, of course I do. So do you. Attitudes and different things. Not full-fledged, disqualify yourself sins. But you know, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're doing actually becomes a big sin. The sin of error. I remember being in a men's meeting, and there was this old timer. When you look at him, it's like you're looking at Jesus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Following God for like 60 years. He said, I need prayer. I'm like, okay. He said, I've gotten irritated recently with my wife. I thought, what the heck? I don't think I'm at that level yet. I might be getting there. Some of you need to repent right now. No, he said, it's a sin against God. That's what he said. I can't do this thing before Potiphar, and I can't do it before God. He has this covenant relationship. And what's interesting is that you see that now the price for rape or attempted rape of Potiphar's wife, the price that you would pay for that would be death. Clearly the price for his sin. But that's not what happens. Instead of killing Joseph because of his wife's accusations against him, Potiphar puts him in prison. Why would he do that? Because he had favor with Potiphar. And I have a sneaking suspicion that his wife had maybe done some stuff before. And so when it says, and Potiphar got angry, I don't even think it was anger at Joseph. He's like, seriously? Did you seriously do it again? You did it again. That's it. We're going to Pastor Hank to get some marriage counseling. And he goes to prison, but the Lord is with Joseph. Hell has no fury as a woman scorned, one poet said. Kind of amazing. Lord is with Joseph, and Joseph is elevated and made successful in the prison. I mean, it's like everywhere this guy goes, you just can't keep him down. He just keeps walking in favor. All right, God's speaking to us. Let me bring the application here. Joseph's elevated, he's made successful. God's speaking to us. The key to all life is having the Lord with us. The key to all of life is having the Lord with you. That is the key to walking in destiny. That is the key to walking in purpose. That is the key to real success, is having God with us. There's seven uses of what we call, what theologians call the tetragrammatron. And second, in verse 2 and verse 3, it's used twice. Verse 5, it's used twice. It's the tetragrammatron is YHWH. Now, some people say, well, that's Jehovah. Or another group of people say, well, that's Yahweh. But the truth is, no one knows what it spells. They're just guessing. Because the name of God was never to be spoken out loud. So when you would come to YHWH, the tetragrammatron, it's the name of God. And what they would say in the Old Testament is Adonai. In the New Testament, when it talks about the Lord, capital L, Lord, it's Kyrios. So here it's talking about the tetragrammatron, I mean, like God Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, is with Joseph. It's very profound. And when you look through Scripture, you'll see that all men, women, those who walked with God, those who God was with, they, as long as they were with him and he was with them, they prospered. Adam and Eve did pretty good until they disobeyed. Abraham, there's others, Isaac. Genesis 26, let me move through this quickly, just some examples of founding fathers, those Old Testament, New Testament, where God was with them. Genesis 26 and 24, don't fear, I am with you. Verse 28 of Genesis 26, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. Those are other people looking and saying the Lord is with you. And Jacob in Genesis 28, behold, I'm with you and I will keep you wherever you go. Moses, Exodus 3 and 12, I will certainly be with you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, verse 9, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Gideon, Judges 6, verse 12. The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. David, 1 Samuel. The Lord is with David. Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18. The Lord is with him. He prospered wherever he went. Jeremiah, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Called as a youth. Don't look at their faces. Don't be afraid of their faces. I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. I am with you. The disciples in Mark 16 and 20, the Lord working with them. Paul in Acts 18, don't be afraid, for I am with you. He goes on to say in verse 10, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. 2 Timothy 4 and 17. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but John 14 will be my last verse to emphasize this, but it is very important. Because if God's with you, you're going to make it. If God's with you, it does not matter what comes against you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If the Lord's with you, you could be in a boat that seemingly looks like it's going to sink. But if God's with you, your boat won't sink. He'll cause the wind and the waves. Who is he to even speak to wind and the waves? And if God's with you, you're going to make it. If God's with you, your marriage will make it. If God's with you, your finances will make it. If God's with you, nothing can stop the move of God. No devil in hell. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not one thing. You don't need to be afraid of devils. You need to cultivate the fear of the Lord and walk with him and talk with him. Even as in the cool of the day, he was crucified on a cruel Roman cross, rose again from the grave. And if you repent and receive him, he will come and make his home. John 14. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The secret to Joseph's life, the secret to success, the secret to overcoming, the secret to real biblical prosperity is knowing that God is with you and living such a way that your life is an example of God living on the inside of you. So, I mean, Joseph, they looked at Joseph like, what has that guy got? It must be God. We could pick on Daniel, the prophet Daniel. The Holy God lives on the inside of him. I mean, they're just blown away by his ability and to discern and see things. The blessing of God in your life can be a testimony to others of God's reality. I was talking to someone over this past week, and I shared my testimony with them. And they looked at me like, I said, I cannot imagine that. I said, no, I know. Because that man's long gone. This is a new guy, 30 plus years ago. When people look at you, do they see Jesus? When people see how you behave, how you turn the other cheek, how you go the extra mile through your generosity, through your kindness, when you're squeezed, you got lemon juice coming out? Or do they see the anointing? You know, many of you work for people or maybe have your own business. Do you know people will be blessed because they're near you? The blessing of God on your life can be a testimony to others of God's reality. You can put that on the slide now. Thanks. Lift your hands to heaven. God's blessing can be on others because of you. And that was the case with Potiphar. Joseph is totally exonerated. In the first service, I made mention of some rabbinic scholars' understanding of some of that, only later to find after I preached it that I spoke in error, so I removed the first service. You won't find it on there. You said, what was your? I'm not telling. Because we believe in biblical truth and just found out like, oh, I missed it somehow. I need to study that through a little bit. But there's tremendous revelation here. You know, Joseph never argued his case. That's not what happened. I didn't do that. You know she's a hussy. You seen her liking other people before I even came around. I saw her when I was in the field. She like... If you're going to live the dream, you got to pass a twofold test. Anybody go through some tests? You know,
If you're not, if you're experiencing the same test over and over, could be that you didn't pass it. If you're experiencing a new test, we've experienced some new ones recently, tests we've never had. Like, oh, this is different. This is different. Oh, God, this is different. I haven't quite seen this yet. And the Lord says, that's a compliment. Because if you're experiencing a new test, it means the old ones, you're done with those. So now you're facing something new that you'd never been through before. Welcome to the never been through it before. If you're going to move into a new place, you're going to experience new terror. There's new level, new devil. That you take authority over. Sometimes it's on the inside of you. Sometimes it's on the inside of your thinking. If you're going to live the dream, you must pass twofold test. Number one, how do you handle success? Steve Hill, how many of you know who Steve Hill is? Steve Hill was the evangelist at the Brownsville Revival. You'll experience this test, John, next couple of years. Where it rains on you so big, so vast, that it'll test you. It'll test you. You can be seduced into thinking, I don't mean you, I mean none of us can be seduced into thinking that, you know, we're all that. And no, the only reason you're all anything is because Jesus lives on the inside of you. Evangelist Steve Hill said this, and he preached that message from the book of Revelation, let no man take your crown. I actually preached it just recently. It wasn't his message. That was my own. But that text, I'll never forget it. And I got to be his armor bearer. Do you know what that means? I got to hang with Steve Hill, carry all his books, drive him everywhere. That guy had more props for preaching than I've ever seen anybody have. And so we spent time. And he talked to me about certain things. The greatest test he ever had was what's called the test of the palace. So much financial provision came to him through the Brownsville Revival. I mean, like millions and millions of dollars through his VHS tapes. For those of you that don't know what that is, before we had DVDs and before we had MPEG-4 files, had this thing called VHS. And they also had a Blockbuster video. You remember them? You remember going to Blockbuster? Okay. So he had VHS tapes of all these services. And people bought them by the, I mean, like, they had warehouses where they were producing these things. And the Lord spoke to them and said, don't take $1 from all the media and all the VHS and all the tapes. Sow all of it back into the kingdom. Because if you don't, it's going to destroy you. And so he was very blessed. But he knew that if he didn't do that, that it was going to be something that tried to steal his crown. You know, it's easier, perhaps, to be faithful when you don't have anything. When God starts really raining on you, it can try to take a place. It can try to take its place. And if you can't handle, oh my. How can you be entrusted with true riches? There's true riches that come from heaven. Finances are but a test. Favor, increase, physical prowess, whatever you want to plug in there, whatever success you might have, athletic success. Got to be careful. Be careful next to the failure on account of your fallen human nature. You know how many pastors have fallen because of going to get massage therapy? Can't count. I have every plan to never have that happen. I don't like anybody touching me. No, how come? Well, I just don't. I remember trying to give Dr. Morocco a massage. Just his back. We were in this intense meeting. So I go behind Doc. It's a funny story. Go behind Doctor, and I don't think my hands covered his traps because he's just massive. I put my hand, I start massaging him, and he turns around and says, don't do that. I just walked away. For me, I don't like people touching me, generally speaking. Pastor Karen has a pass. Because I see stuff. I see things. I get all kinds of images start coming into my spirit. I see things. I've got like a prophetic gifting. I start seeing stuff. You say, so you never have massage therapy? No, I do. There's one spirit-filled guy, part of our church, that's the best massage therapist. In fact, he's been voted the best in the state. Yep, Brother Colin. That's not to say that I haven't had others, but I'll have my wife stand there, sit there. Why is that? Because I'm never going to have anything happen. Nobody's ever going to be able to even accuse me. Can you say amen? Watch out. You be careful. Don't throw it away. Don't throw your life away, ladies, gentlemen. Don't do it. So the test that Joseph was in was preparing him so that when it was literally second in command of the whole nation, that's the preparation. If he had failed, what would have happened then? No dream. Ain't no living the dream then. You know, some of you, I'm looking down. I'm not looking at you. But some of you have a pornography problem. And you don't realize that it's destroying you. It's opening up men and women. We've seen it both. It'll destroy you. Get help. Get help. Confront that thing. If you can't handle your phone, get a flip phone. And that doesn't mean that everybody that has flip phones has a porn problem. Did you get something from the Lord? Lift your hands to Jesus all across this place and just let God touch you. The test of the palace. It's a test of the pit. It's a test of the palace, test of the prison. Test of friends, we're going to look at that. Tested, tried, and true, that's what I want to be. Currently, to this point, we have that. So why would you say it that way? Because it's a new day, new trials ahead. Going to stay close to God, going to walk with Him. Come on, going to talk to Him. God is with me. Can you say that? Can you say that God, can you emphatically 100% no, deep down without lying, not making it up, not being some religion. Oh, God's with me. I know God's with me because we're two or three are gathered. No. I mean, really, like really. Is He? Or in the dark when nobody will catch you? Are you doing things? My precious. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Want to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment to Him. If that's you, want to get right with God, won't you do it today? Give your heart to Jesus first time or make a recommitment. Just lift your hand. That's me. Say, that's me. Lift your hand up. God bless you all the way in the back. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you all across this great sanctuary. Those online, would you stand with us all across this place and pray with me right out loud? Come on, right out loud, just bold, right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe He rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to wash me and cleanse me and forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. Thank you for loving me and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, I pray you fill and touch these in Jesus' name. Right now, be filled to overflowing. And now I pray for those who are in the midst of a test. The test is not so that you would fail, and if you have, it's coming again. The test is so that you would be tried, so that you would walk into true fulfillment. Psalm 105, you'll see it on our video we play before I preach. And the word of the Lord tested Joseph till it came to pass. If you can't be trusted with what you have right now, why would God elevate you, increase your influence? If you can't be faithful with what He's already given you, how could He possibly give you more? But if you're faithful in the little things, He'll make you ruler over much. And most of us want much right away. I can do it, Lord. I can do big and massive. Never mind the little. Give it all to me. I won't fail you. Sure, sure. He loves you so much, he'll test you. And I'm thankful for the test that I'm walking through right now. I got arrested by the Holy Spirit. You're being tested. I mean, I just love that. I'm like, okay, oh, we're going to pass. Yes, we're going to pass. Make every plan to pass. It starts raining on you in different ways of favor, blessing, provision maybe. You know how you keep greed off of you? Be a giver. Don't let that thing get a hold of you. It's a spirit that will grab you and beat the fool out of you, and you'll wonder what happened. No, no. Make God number one. That's what Joseph did. God was with Joseph, and he prospered in the pit, in Potiphar's house, and in the prison, and in the palace. Did you get something? Father, I pray for each and every person in the midst of a trial right now that they would see clearly that the test that they are currently experiencing is to promote them, not to beat them. I bind demon power. There are things that come from the enemy, and we're supposed to bind and take authority over those, and we do it now. But there are also tests working, exposing that which is not in agreement with your word, strongholds being revealed. Lord, I pray that you'd help us by your spirit to tear down everything that's raised up against the knowledge of God, that we would be found faithful, we would be found true, and that you, Lord, would breathe upon a company of people here, even at King's Alaska and beyond, that'll be faithful in the little things and made ruler over much, that you would pour out your spirit for the sake of the elect, and all those connected and all those that know us would be brought into communion with you, because it'll be favor and the blessing and the integrity be evident that rests upon this company here. Lord, do it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together for God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.